Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your local business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. Today I get to interview Dr. Shannon Irvin. She has her PhD in neuropsychology, and I am telling you, you guys, this is a powerful episode. This is one of those episodes where you are going to find something that you are saying, you're going to have a story somewhere that is, you're going to realize is holding your business back. It is stalling or it is plateauing your growth. And I really hope you take some time to listen to this episode and then take action on this exercise that Shannon is describing here. Shannon has an amazing podcast called The Epic Success Show with Dr. Shannon Irvin. It is really something that you guys are going to want to check out. You're going to love her. So let's dive in. Let's work through the stories that are stopping you from growing your business to where you want to go, maybe paying yourself the amount of money you should actually be paying yourself, taking real vacations, you name it, anything that you feel like is just, how is this not happening yet? Or why am I holding myself back? We're going to cover all of that in today's episode. So definitely stay tuned. Shannon, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you on. This has been a long time coming.
Sure has. Stacey, I'm super stoked to be here with your tribe that I love everything you do. Don't you guys just love Stacey? She's amazing.
Thank you. So Shannon, you really, I love what you're talking about with the brain because mindset is huge. And what's funny is when I kept hearing people talking about mindset really just like a few years ago, I thought, Well, I don't need that. Like I'm good, right? Like I'm already doing pretty well in my business. So obviously I don't need to work on mindset. And I realize that mindset is everything. And no matter how successful you are, there's always this next barrier and your mindset will make or break what happens really with your goal setting. So I'm super excited to have you on today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so true. And yeah, that's, you know, that the thing that really lights me up is I see so many people out there looking for, especially in business, they're looking for the next strategy or the next, you know, tactic or funnel or, you know, advertising plan or whatever, but yet they don't believe in themselves enough to actually execute that. And so they're spending all their money, which is money well spent if your mind is in the right place to truly execute it.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you tell us before we dive in, just give us a little bit of your background, like what led you here? Fill us in a little bit.
Sure. So I always like to tell people, because I do have a doctorate in neuropsychology, not that I am super smart, because that PhD came out of literally pure desperation for myself. So I had my master's in business and I had my own nonprofit that I was running and my own consulting business that I was running, which worked really, really well until I got pregnant. And then All of a sudden, I know that's like a good thing that happened and it the best thing in the world. But what started to happen for me was this idea of, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do everything. I think I'm going to have to give something up. I think like I can't, it was like an either or conversation started happening in my mind and the anxiety of the way I was running my life then, which was stress success, you know, hustle, hustle, hustle. And I would say stupid things like I'll sleep when I'm dead and, you know, things that Lord have mercy on my soul. You know, I thought, you know, that was how you did it, which you can do for a little while until it stops working. Mm-hmm. And that's where it had happened for me. And I just started to realize like there are people that seemed on the outside like they actually had family that worked and had a really amazing business. So I started getting a mentorship with a specific person. And I found out in that mentorship that it wasn't their strategy. It wasn't that they had the secret super, you know, sauce that nobody else had. It was that they thought differently about everything. They thought differently about success, about failure, about like criticism. They just thought so differently than I did that I knew that that was the difference. And that got me started on, well, if that's the difference maker, I want to learn everything about how her brain is different than mine. And I shifted my doctorate over to neuropsychology and quickly found out how amazing our brains are in terms of creating the success we want once we take them off autopilot.
Oh, that's amazing. And you know what's funny too is because sometimes people will, something will happen in the business. Maybe a customer complains or like they're irate about something. And, you know, I'll assess the situation. I'll figure out how to fix this for next time. I'll make it right with her. And I just move on. And some people in the business, they can't sleep. They can't stop thinking about it, even though it's taken care of. We fixed it. You know, we feel bad, but there's nothing else we can do. We've moved forward. And they're like, how can you just let it go? I'm still like stuck in this moment. And I realized too, that's a big skill that I have that I'm able to, not that I just ignore it. I mean, I'm taking care of it in the moment, but then it's like, okay, I really feel like I did everything I can do. Now it's time to keep moving forward. Whereas if you get stuck, man, you can go down a really bad rabbit hole.
Yeah, you really can. And what I love about the fact that you share that is that your story about what that meant, how you were personally wired, is different than the person that gets stuck. So when we're looking at it from like a brain-based perspective, we have automatic program stories in our brain about success, about failure, about value, about worth, about what it means when somebody complains. And because probably I know a little bit of your story that, you know, you've grew up in a very entrepreneurial way, that was a very normal thing that you were exposed to. So you had a story already built that your worth wasn't attached to that particular complaint, that was part of the story. But for some people, the story is if somebody doesn't like what it is that I do, that means I'm not valuable. And when that's the story that's automated and hardwired, then everything is going to make you feel stuck. Every comment, complaint is going
negative
to make
you. Yeah. I mean, all of that stuff. Wow. Okay. So this is where it gets really interesting. And I feel like I know my listeners are already going, ooh, I can see where this is playing a part, because now it's the story of what's possible for me, right? What's possible for my business or my type of business or my type of industry. Cause we all have these stories that are in our head telling us every day what's going to happen. So let's talk about that. I mean, what can we do when maybe we've grown up a certain way or we're in a certain environment? So I even believe, you know, living in Wisconsin and then going to California quite a bit for conferences and things like that, and I'm hanging out with a lot of people in California, I realize, wow, we think very differently.
Yeah, right.
Very, very differently, right? So it's like even where you've grown up, the state you're in, the country you're in. So maybe we realize, okay, I'm telling myself a story that I don't want to tell myself anymore. How do we rewire that?
I love this question because this is what I love about what I do. Like, I think just understanding, first of all, like that there are a couple things to understand, because I'll hear a lot of stuff out on the market. Oh, just visualize that and it'll happen. But here's the thing. When I'm looking from a brain-based perspective, you have these beautiful things in your brain called neural networks, right? And when you repeat what you believe over and over again as a child or a young adult, that your brain's job is to automate that, because we get about, I don't know, about 8,000 thoughts that we have to process per minute. So in a minute, imagine trying to process that. So as a child, your brain is like super efficient. And in the environment that you grow up in and all the things that you're hearing around, the things that are being repeated over and over again, your brain, your subconscious mind says, okay, that's what she believes. I will do her a favor and I'm going to automate that so she never has to think about it again. It just automatically happens. So when we do that, you know, sometimes as a very young adult or a child, we've now hardwired a story about success, about money, about failure, all those things. And now here we are, we're 30 years old and we're trying to run an entrepreneurial business. And we don't even realize that those stories, those program stories that have just been on autopilot are actually, we know this from neuroscience now, running 80 to 90% of your decisions and actions. We see this on the scans that the place that fires 80 to 90% of the time is your subconscious mind that's creating the decision-making. And is obviously the actions come from those decisions. decisions, and that's where your results are coming from. So you're, when you feel stuck, or if you feel overwhelmed, or you feel like, how do I shift this? The fact that your brain is so systematic in the way that it originally programmed those stories, you actually can go in, neurohack it, reverse engineer that process to start to use a geeky word, prune away those stories that no longer serve you. And I do that in a neurocoaching method that's really, there's like a 4-step process that I take people through to literally take it from recognizing it to recording it, writing it down. I'd love to go through those if you're interested.
Let's do it. I would love to.
Okay, cool. So like, let's see, what's the biggest like place that you've hear people being stuck? Because I want it to be really relative to your listeners.
Yeah. You know, I think one that I hear just so much, especially just with my background and what they see from me, is people just can't believe how little I work on my business. And I shouldn't say little, how little compared to them I work on my business. Because they're working like 60 to 80 hours a week and they're missing dinner and they're, you know, they don't get to spend time on the weekends. Like they're just working like crazy. So I think a story is like, not that you don't have to hustle, because I work hard, but that you don't have to be working in your business 24/7 to really see the results you want.
Yeah. Yeah. So the story might be in there. Like, so can you imagine like if they saw their parents like never there, always gone, always working, exchanging time for money, right? Mm-hmm. And knowing that they'd come home and say things like, I work so hard. That's how you get ahead in life. You work a lot of hours and you really have to outwork everybody to be successful. So those are some of the maybe things that they heard that like automated, and your brain hears it and goes, got it. I'll automate that. So what we do in this process to reverse engineer that is, first of all, this is really important. You want to hear how it is that you're saying these things to yourself. So the first step number one, is to literally record it down. So I'll give you a personal example. It happened for me when I was starting my podcast a couple of years ago. It was just like a momentary thing where I felt, I like heard, you know, that voice, like, you know, our mutual mentor calls her Janice, you know, whoever mm-hmm. that voice is that like kind of talks us out of things. I heard this like, you don't have enough of value to bring to the podcast. And it was one of those thoughts that could have just floated away and I could have just shaken it off and then kept going. But I know enough now to know that that's the kind of thing that gets programmed. So I said, okay, wait a minute. So I wrote down, I do not have enough value to bring to the podcast. Because that thought is coming from that automatic programming, just trying to keep you safe and keep things familiar and not allow you to be successful. So recognizing it first, just even recognizing that you're saying that, is huge.
I don't think I do that. I think I skip that step for sure. I just go to the positive, what I want, not what I'm saying. So that's interesting, because that feels weird writing it down.
It does.
You know, I don't know, but I could see how it'd be a big wake-up call for you.
It does. And here's the thing. I'll hear a lot like, Shannon, like what you focus on grows. Should we like just avoid it? But here's the thing. If 80% of your daily actions and decisions are being run from automatic subconscious programming, I don't know about you, but I want to get it out. Like, I don't want it automating 80% of my day that I think I have to work 20 hours a day in order to be successful, or that I don't have enough value to bring, because I had a big value story related to my work. Like, that was my past story that I had to work through, was I got my value from being the best at everything. And so obviously that's not true. I was valuable when I was born, right? So I had to unwire those two things. So yes, it is not comfortable, but the best filter I give my clients is just any thought that you're having, just ask yourself, is it bringing you closer to where you want to be or further away? And you start to get really good at hearing just the subtle story that's like, oh, you can't do that. Even that simple thing, or you don't have, on this particular one, it's, oh, you don't have time to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's your brain trying to keep you safe from taking a risk that's going to require more of you, because your brain wants to just keep you safe and keep things familiar. It's not wired to be an entrepreneur or a business owner. Those are risky things. So when you write it down, here's the greatest thing. Imagine if this story was hardwired as like an 11-year-old or 12-year-old that you just heard over and over again. Well, now you're 28, 30 years old, however old you are, and you're writing down, I don't have enough value to bring to the podcast, or I can't possibly work enough hours to be successful, whatever it is that you hear. your adult mind will naturally start arguing with it. Mm-hmm. It's when we keep it like, when we just dismiss it and it goes back into our subconscious and runs 80% of our day, that it wreaks havoc. And that's why we feel stuck and can't get to where we want to be. But once we recognize it, we're like, wait a minute, that thought is not going to take me closer to what I want. And you actually write it down just the way you say it, which is the second step of just recording it.
Yeah.
The next step naturally happens, and that is you start to refute it. You actually put the thought on trial. And the beautiful thing about it is writing it down, that's a neuro hack, because you now have taken it from the place where it can just go right back to automation to your prefrontal cortex, to your thinking mind, where you can now eliminate it. But if you don't write it down and you try to do this work in your head, then it will just kind of settle back in until the next risky thing that you do brings it back up again. So yeah. We want it out. So we write it down. I don't have enough value to bring to the podcast. And so that third step of refuting it, you just start writing down what's naturally coming up for you. Like, well, you know, for me, I was like, I've helped, you know, hundreds of 6, 7, and 8-figure entrepreneurs massively grow and break through barriers. And so I just started writing down my natural defense of like, that's silly. Like, of course I have value. But here's the thing. As much as we can see the truth as like we're writing it, the reality is we are hard on ourselves. And we, that's actually a brain thing. We're 9 times more likely to see the negative in ourselves or for ourselves than we would for anybody else. Which is interesting because it kept us alive when we were being chased by tigers and, you know, those kind of threats. But nowadays it could be a social media comment, you know, or anything like that, that just makes you go and not advocate for yourself. So there's a little bit of a trick that I use with my clients that really, really pulls the truth out.
Oh, cool.
So what I ask my clients to do is, okay, so first you're writing down on a piece of paper after you've written down what it is that you said to yourself, you're writing down all the refuting, all the truth. So we'll call that story a lie now, and we'll call what we're writing down as the truth. So you're writing down the truth. I have value, but you know, all the things that your conscious brain could remember and think. But the next thing that I want you to do in this refuting step is to imagine the person that means the most to you in the world. Now, a lot of us, if we have kids, that's our kids or our spouse. And some of us have many kids, right? For me, in this scenario, I picked my son, Max, because he's my oldest. And what I want you to do is I want you to not actually go walk to them and say this, but I want, whether you have to go in your bathroom or your office, close the door, I want you to like close your eyes and picture them standing in front of you and speak the exact words that you said to yourself to them. And why we do this is because, well, imagine, like I imagine saying to Max, Max, you don't have enough value to bring to the world. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as I said that, that part of me, that mom that would take you out for saying something like that to my child, started going like, that is crap. Like, you know, I just started writing all the things that he is. He could do anything he wants. His value is from the moment he's born, all the things that would come up for you, because you're not saying it to yourself. Now you're saying it to somebody that you love and that you would defend and you would, that you know the truth about. That truth that you write down about that person is what we call in neuroscience a mirror truth, because that is the truth about you. You just can't see it so clearly because you're harder on yourself than you are on others. So now you've got this beautiful, your left logical brain has come up with some, and then your emotional brain that works with your thinking brain actually came up with the rest of the truth when you put it on that other person. And now you have this beautiful list that you get to prime into your brain every time you have that thought. So here's where I lose people sometimes. And that is, we, in today's society and Amazon and everything that's instant, we want the like magic blue pill that makes it go away, right? But if you are willing to give it 60 days of just repeating this truth, literally in the brain, we can see a freeway built to that new truth. And then that old story literally prunes away and cannot connect again.
Yeah. This is so powerful. I really hope, because I caught myself, not in the moment, I caught myself when you were talking of something I just said before we jumped on to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I was doing that exercise with that sentence that I said. I really hope my listeners can think of something they've recently said, or if you really can't think of anything, just observe yourself for the next 24 hours and see if it pops up, because man, that just changed everything as you're walking me through this.
Yeah, it's powerful. Here's the thing, you know, we're always out there looking for the next strategy or thing in the market that's going to work, but they all work. Like mm-hmm. they work when you're able to powerfully shift your brain from the automatic pre-programmed stories that are there governing everything to the stories that you choose. And one of the things that I say all the time on my podcast and whenever anybody will listen is like, you really are the creator of your thoughts. Like from a brain-based perspective, your thinking prefrontal cortex brain that we're talking with and listening with right now is the boss. It has 100% of the control. The only time that's different is when you've repeated things so often that now your subconscious brain takes over and automates for you. So yeah. As a powerful leader and as somebody who's really leaning into the leadership of their business and their life, of course, because this isn't, you know, we're integrated. This applies to everything. You get to choose. Like you get to powerfully choose to become the creator of your thoughts and no longer advocate or just let things happen to you. You actually get to get curious about what you think. And when the thinking no longer serves you, you can actually truly reverse engineer it to where you can program in exactly the things that get you to that next level of success in your business and life too.
Yeah. Oh, this is really powerful, because so many times when I'm coaching somebody, and I can just tell like their mindset isn't there. Like I could give them every single strategy step by step, and they will do it, and they will not do it as well as I will. And right. I can feel it. I can just sense it. And it's because you're right. They are telling themselves these stories, even heading into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reality is everyone has this. So if you're sitting there saying, oh, I'm a pretty positive person. Like I don't have any stories. It's not your, what I really need you to know is it's not like your fault. Like if you procrastinate, if you're a perfectionist, or you get really close and sabotage, those are all brain safety release valves to get you back to what your subconscious believes. Mm. So if you look around in your life and you're looking around in your business and it's absolutely perfect and you wouldn't change a thing, then maybe you have done some of this brain priming on your own and didn't realize it.
Yeah.
But chances are, if you're looking around and saying like, I'd like to have more in my business, or I'd like to be better with my spouse, or whatever the case may be, then you have these stories and you get to go in and figure them out. Like, and here's the great news. It's not difficult. People ask like, how do I hear these stories? They're hard to hear. Mm-hmm. They're actually really easy to hear if you don't run away from things like stress and resistance, because the stories come up anytime you take risks or things are stressful or things aren't as you plan them. That's when you really get to listen in, because those stories really want to take over then. And so it's a great opportunity.
Can I say a story that I want, that people really believe is true, and they're going to argue with that it is. So I hear the story a lot. Like, I'm a big believer in hiring and growing your team. And it's just one of like my key areas of success, I feel like, that I can say has happened because of it. But people will say, but Stacey, like, nobody can do this as good as me. And I've tried and I've hired and I've, you know, like, they're telling me this is a fact that they're not in my market. They're not here. I can't hire them. I can't find them. But these are stories too. So what would you say to them?
So I would have them start to unpack why they believe that they have to be the one that does it. And one of the easiest things to do is, when was the first time you felt like if you didn't do it, it wouldn't be done right? Yeah. And typically we can quickly go to the place where we adopted that perfectionistic story of, and it helped us. Here's the thing, somehow, and that was my story, so I can speak to this really, okay, really deeply. I know for myself, and maybe a lot of your listeners, perfectionism or only doing it myself was a way for me to feel significant and for me to get noticed and for me to have value. And so when I gave parts of it away, I felt that obviously this is a lie, right? Mm-hmm. But I felt like, well, if I don't do it, then I'm not worth it, right?
Yeah. So like you've lost the significance.
Yeah, I've lost the significance. And the reality is, whether you're a multimillion-dollar entrepreneur or you're just getting started, we all have the deep need for being loved and being significant. Mm-hmm. And we find our worth in things to make us feel loved and significant. So perfectionism is, it really is this brain safety release valve for helping us feel worth. And so if we don't do it, then how will we feel worthy? Like, mm-hmm. because haven't had an experience otherwise that says, which I have now, which is I actually get my worth from people's transformation, not my worth from their transformation, but I can give value away and people can transform. It doesn't need to be me that does those things. So I would just really encourage, like, when is that earliest moment that you said to yourself, it's better if I do it? And what did you get from that? Mm. And once you start to realize, oh, I'm getting that dopamine hit, that feeling like nobody can do it better than me, and I get a lot of accolades, and I get a lot of that a girl, way to go, because you're doing everything. And that was me too. I would work 20, 24, you know, I remember days back in my brick and mortar days when I was running my restaurants where I would be working 20 hours, 21 hours in a day and be back there the next day because I would not let other people do it. And when it was crazy, you know, but the reverse engineering of that really is hearing what you're saying when you're not letting go of it. So what I would always be saying in that moment of like, oh, I can't possibly give this to someone else. And all I would hear, and I'm just gonna be really vulnerable right now, is they'll find out you're not enough. Mm. They'll find out, right? They'll find out.
Like somebody else is doing it, not you. Somebody else
doing it better than you, maybe. What if they do it better? Then you won't be needed. They'll find out. And so I would, in that scenario, whatever it is you're saying for yourself, and I would really say, get in tune with what is it that you're saying to yourself, because you want to say it in your words, not mine. But in that scenario, I would write down what if they find out that I'm not all that I am putting out there to the world? Yeah. And then I won't be loved. And then you can start that same 4-hour process that I was talking about and start to really break down the fact that you are worthy the moment. I mean, imagine going to a newborn baby, right? And mm-hmm. saying, you know what? You'll have enough worth when you do everything and not let anybody else help you the rest of your life.
Right.
But you would never let, you know, right. But we do it to ourselves. And so going through and reverse engineering what you're saying around why you feel you have to, and being open and honest with yourself. You don't have to share this with anybody else, but the freedom that comes from knowing, and first of all, that it's not your fault that you're this way, right? That we all have them. And mm-hmm. so not your fault. Like, don't beat yourself up. Give yourself a load of grace over the fact that you, as whatever age that was, coped in a way that helped your survival. It helped you be okay. And it served you then, but it does not serve you in growing your business now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't serve you in your life. And it's probably spilling over into your marriage because you're probably not asking for help and getting very bitter when your husband or wife doesn't like notice that you need help. Like, right. All those little subtle things
that they should just know magically without us saying it.
Magically. Yes. And I remember going through this too, Stacey, of going through like the stages of like when I finally started doing the work around this, and I'm like, okay, I gave the thing away in my business that I really hated first. Like, right. I'm like, I'm not good at this. I'll give this away.
Yeah.
And the relief that came from not having to do the thing I was bad at and actually admitting that I was bad at something finally, like it just gave me so much freedom. And then that person did it at first worse than me because of course, you know, we think everything has to be exactly the way we figure it out. Right. And then they did it as well as me. And now they do it 70,000 times better than me. And my business has doubled and tripled and quadrupled because they do. Right.
Right. It's like those stories that you have no idea how much they can hold your business back. Yeah. I had this story in my head of like, I wanted to invest in myself. I love just growing and learning, but then I felt like I was spending all my money on growing and learning. Right. And I was telling somebody, I'm like, I need to slow down a little bit on some of my investments and things like that, because I really want to have like this amazing savings account and fully fund a retirement and this and that. And this person said to me, oh, so you don't believe you can have both? I'm like, ooh. Oh, like it never even hit me. And that was a breakthrough moment, because the second she said that and I realized I was doing it, I realized that I can have both and I need to be thinking of how, like now what's the strategy to get both? But I never believed I could have both. So I wasn't trying to get both. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the doors open when your belief changes, and until that belief, you know, comes to your attention, you're stuck in this rut of doing the same old bad habits, those same old thoughts that you've been thinking forever.
I would love to dive in a little bit on this belief piece, because that is,
I think this will tie into people believing, maybe not, I'm like the crazy investment spender, but you know what some people think of is, well, I can't pay myself because my business needs it. Like I would be taking away from my business. So I think there's a lot of different variations of this belief. So yeah, dive in if you want to.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And it's funny that you bring this up, because, and I was sharing this with my own VIP tribe the other day, just 2 days ago, I had one of those, I call them the hyperventilating moments when you're making an investment that you have to really breathe over, you know, you're like, okay, like I know this is going to get my business to the next level. Yeah. I know this right decision.
It's scary. Like,
use some Lamaze breathing before you hit the contract send, you know. But
I've done a few of those. I get
have
it.
You? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone, because man, I was like, okay, all right, here we go. But I think it really will help your listeners, like just even understand the way a belief comes to be in your mind, that this is not a mystery. It's not woo. It's not like some people get it, some people don't. It's literally the same process for you, for Tony Robbins, for me, for the person that's just getting started. Our brains, I call it stepdar, but just as a way to remember it. But you have like a situation that happens, right? Something happens, like me having to make this decision, or not having, getting to make this decision about investing in a specific coach, right? Mm-hmm. We know from neuroscience now that the thought happens before your emotion. But so often we feel like we just feel it first, but the reality is the center of your brain, that our prefrontal cortex, lights up before your emotional center of your brain. So we know that thought precedes emotion. So situation happens, you have a thought about it, and then that thought combines with your emotions and becomes a belief if it is repeated over time. Now, we have thoughts all the time that combine with emotions that we don't repeat, and so they are just a thought, right? No big deal.
Yeah.
But it's the things that we're repeating over and over and over again that become a belief. Before, when I was talking about the automated stories, that's the moment in your brain where it goes from an idea or something you casually think about to stored in your subconscious. So beliefs are literally stored in your subconscious. And that's why you take from that place of belief, you create your identity from that place. And from that identity, you make your decisions and you take actions. And obviously you get your results. And the actions that you take and the results that you get always, always validate the thought that you originally have. So for you, somebody kind of did that pattern interrupt and you were like, oh, I did, you're right. I had a story that it was either or, and a lot of us have either or stories. Like it can't be, we just didn't see evidence yet that there right. could be both, but now all of a sudden you're like, it could be both. And mm-hmm. then your brain looks for evidence to confirm the beliefs that you're trying to automate. So right. you started looking around. I'm like, wait a minute, that person has both. That person has both. Yeah. Like you start seeing it and it's like, it's everywhere. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I was looking at my patterns and what I was thinking, what I was believing. And then as soon as I did kind of like look up from my own paper and look around, I'm like, you're right. Everybody is doing that. Not everybody, but you know what I mean? Like there's plenty right. of people out there that are proving me wrong. So yeah, it's funny how you just don't even notice some of the things that you're saying. It just is so, it was such a casual sentence that I said, you know?
Yeah, it is. And your brain is designed and wired to constantly be looking for evidence. Yeah. So you got to know, like you are always advocating for keeping a story or changing a story, mm. always. And your brain is wanting that confirmation. And so once it automates, now there's a part of your brain called the reticular activating system that only allows in what aligns with what's programmed. Mm. So in your circumstance, up to that pattern interrupt, the only thing that was being allowed in was like what exactly you said, I can't have both. I need to make a decision between either or, one or the other. The pattern interrupt comes and all of a sudden you're seeing it a different way. You find the evidence and your brain starts to accept it. And then you start to see more. Without that, you wouldn't have been able to see more because it was just, that was your only field of reference. Mm-hmm. So you can see when we have these automated stories that we're leaving there in our subconscious about money. I know money's a big one. You know, we all have big money stories. We have a story about it and we wonder like, why I can't get ahead? Why I can't get ahead? But you've got this program going on of like, there's not enough. That I have to get some and somebody else has to lose some, like all of those things keeps a massive block in the way of what you want. So you have this like almost like a tug of war, and that's what it feels like, right? When you want something but you can't get to it, it feels like almost like a tug of war, and that's that cognitive dissonance between what you're saying that you want and what is programmed in your mind. But knowing that you can reverse engineer it step by step is a powerful, powerful thing. Neurohacking is just the most beautiful thing that you realize. Once you realize you really can tap into the way you're wired, the way God designed it, mm-hmm. and put it in your brain there for you to use, for you to make your mind new every day, for you to be able to choose your thoughts and then start to really prime the thoughts that you want into your brain.
Oh, so good. Shannon, this has been really amazing. I am so glad that we had you come on. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find more. If they're like, wow, I'm definitely seeing some situations going on here that I need to address. Where can they find you online?
Well, I'm everywhere on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, at Dr. Shannon Irvin, IRVINE. And over at my website is drshannonirvin.com. And if you want to prime your brain a little bit more, I have some brain hacking audios you can check out there. It's all there for you. But I love being on today. There's nothing that makes me happier than to see people that are in your tribe start to really become the creator of their thoughts and starting to realize that they can create the thoughts that create the success that they want.
I know. It's so powerful. It truly is. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I appreciate it, Shannon.
I love it.
And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. But don't worry, if you're craving more business building guidance, I've got two places to send you. First, be sure to join our free Facebook group at foottraffic.club. You'll get support from other small business owners like you, plus exclusive content from me. And if you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.